According to Tai San, he was pretty erratic towards the end. Hallucinating, that sort of stuff. Look, you don't suppose...
He's gone too far?
He's not crazy. It's all an act.
Yeah, we gotta know for sure. He deserves to know what's gonna happen to him.
Yeah, but think about this. What's going to happen to him might not.
Meaning?
We can't try an insane man.
Welcome to Series 3, Episode 34 of Conversations on Eagle Mountain, a podcast about the tribe. I'm your host, Lance, and joining the podcast panel today is Liz.
Hello.
Sabine.
Hi.
And Maggie.
Hi.
With episode notes done by Matt and myself. So Series 3, Episode 34. The screenplay was done by Joe Boyle. It was directed by Colin McColl. And the episode synopsis will read out by myself. The Mallrats promise that the Guardian will face justice, but questions arise as to whether he is fit to stand trial. Lex dispenses his own variety of justice on May, while Ellie tries to talk Luke out of facing up to his guilt. Alright, so the episode picks up where we last left off with the mob. So, new character Moz, who's played by the very stellar Mariama Smith, stirs up the mob, claiming that the Mallrats are keeping the Guardian for their own profit, just like they did with the antidote.
Plan of action, any thoughts?
Ignore them till they go away? I don't know. How about bringing their leader in, talking to them?
If they got one.
Sounds like somebody's organizing them.
I don't know, I just can't see that working.
It's worked before.
But this is different, like you said. Everybody's got a stake in this. They all want a piece of the Guardian.
Well, I guess there's only one thing for it. We're just gonna have to talk them out of it.
So yeah, what did you make of Moz and her attempts to get justice, including the callbacks to the Mallrats' past behaviour in Series 2? And did you actually buy into Amber's arguments here?
I was actually quite happy that Moz mentioned the things the Mallrats did in the past.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, they realised, the writers realised what the Mallrats had done and had someone called them out on that. I actually think that's great.
Yeah.
That's as for Amber having her say... I guess he has a point. But no, I'm on Moz's side with this, sorry.
Well, mob justice.
Yes.
Wow.
For the Guardian, yes.
I mean, it's fair. But wow. Okay, I'm like kind of on Sabine's side here. Because once again, I just don't like that. It's one tribe deciding what's going to happen when an entire city was affected. And they've said that repeatedly through the episode.
True.
This affects everybody. So it's like, where do you get off making the judgment call on this? And it's like, yeah, everybody was affected by this. You guys don't get to make this judgment call. But at the same time, I'm looking at this crowd going, where the frick were any of you when we were fighting them?
Right.
I've never seen a single one of you out there on the front lines. You weren't here when
where
we were
Moz?
About to blow up. Like, I've never seen you before, you know? So at the same time, I'm kind of like, look, we did all the work. We got them captured. We can do whatever we want with them. You don't get any say because you weren't there fighting with us. You didn't. I don't know who you lost. I don't even know who you are. Where were you when we were calling people to arms? You know, when we were trying to fight the Chosen before? Where have you been this entire time? Did you just come back from the mines? You look fabulous. You know, like, who are you people? So, like, on both sides, I'm like, I feel like the Mallrats, in one way, don't have the right to tell this entire city of kids, we're going to decide what to do with him. But at the same time, I'm like, well, they did do all the work. So why not be the ones to decide? It's like, where the frick were you
guys?
Finders
keepers.
Exactly.
The same thing could have been said about the antidote, Mags.
Yes, they found the antidote, and they were the ones who got to decide finders how they were going to dispense it. So it's like, none of you climbed a mountain. I didn't see any of you guys trying to find the answers, you know?
But, you know, I do agree. It shouldn't just be the Mallrats deciding, and it shouldn't just be these guys. But I just feel like the people outside of the mall should have gotten a say in a matter.
if we had actually met people outside of our Mallrats, our Rebels, and the one chosen Luke that we get to spend time with, and actually saw familiar faces in that crowd, people we know were affected, this would be a better argument to be making. But they decide the mob is going to be full of strangers, not even recognizable tribe leaders, nobody who was there at the end kind of fight, you know, the confrontation. No one, none of these people were there. So it's like the narrative is structuring it so that you're on the Mallrat side, because they're the only people we recognize. They're the only people we've seen do anything. They're the only people we've seen affected by the Chosen. So we're more invested in what they get to say about it than a bunch of nameless people that we don't know, we don't recognize. We never got to see their stories. We don't know what they went through. The city didn't seem like it was a terrible place to live outside of the mall in the first place during this entire occupation.
Yeah.
We saw people just going about their day, you know, living their life. So we have nothing to go on for how horrible it was for any of these people in this crowd, really, except for the few leaders who stood up and said, oh, they burned my village to the ground. Why aren't you in this crowd demanding justice? Like, where are the people who were affected?
the people that Trudy addressed.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I was about to bring that up. Where are they? Like,
I saw Ethan at one point, but I don't think it was in this episode. I think it was
not in this episode.
Yeah. It was in the previous ones. Yeah, like
in the background.
I don't mind the mob being here now, but then after this, the Mallrats should have brought the tribal leaders back to discuss the Guardian.
to decide what to do. Why would?
But again, the whole tribal leaders are gone now. Just forgotten about, pushed aside again, when an important storyline, like what to do with the Guardian, is here. Like, they shouldn't just be ignored. I don't get it. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, the city leaders should not just be Bray, Ebony, and Amber.
No, and it makes it worse, in, like, when we get to the end, where it's just the Mallrats, and who is it in the crowd? Like, in that little jury? There's no one there. It's like... Like, they've chosen, slowly taken over the whole city, affected everyone, and I hate this whole story, to be honest.
Okay, Amber's speech. Now, it's totally in character for Amber. I want that understood.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anything she said is out of place because it's Amber. This is just the sort of thing she'd say. I don't buy her winning over the crowd this fast. I don't buy it for a second. She does not say enough. There aren't enough arguments about what she is saying for these people to be like, oh, okay, I guess that's, yeah, we want that kind of society. Are you serious?
Yeah.
This crowd is so pathetic. Where are the mobs that would break into the mall and throw rocks at you or tell you to just bugger off because you can't tell us what to do? Where are those mobs? I want them back because this is not a mob. She says like barely a paragraph of things that are really inspiring. And we've seen her do it before. And people be like, yeah, whatever, kid. We don't know who you are and we don't care what you have to say. And I'm fine with what she says because, again, it's in her character to say those things. I am not fine with this crowd going, sure, okay, that makes sense. And we don't have any questions.
So weird. Yeah, but it's so weird that this crowd instantly, you know, that they accept whatever Amber says, because who is this Amber? You know, it's the Mallrats weren't big.
It's not so much who she is; it's just what she's saying. Like, it's not because she's Amber. I know you're trying to say Sabine. It's just because what she was saying. It wasn't because she's Amber. We'll listen to her. It was just because she was just saying things to the crowd.
Because her mouth was moving.
Yeah.
You know what? They did this way better. Okay, and why it worked better. In season 2, the mob wants to destroy the Mallrats because they found out they were lying about the antidote, okay? And these kids stormed the mall. Like, they broke into the building. They hit Bray in the head and gave him another concussion.
Yeah, they did.
Right? Okay? They were ready to wreck that place. The Mallrats were terrified. And the only one who was able to stop them was Ebony. But you want to know why it worked? Not only did she play on all the positive stuff that the Mallrats had to do to get that antidote, and, you know, it was true. It's true. The Mallrats did do all the work to get the answer. Where the frick were the rest of you? You're running scared and dying. We found the answer. We went through a landmine. We lost people. Okay? We left we marched 30 miles out of the city to find this frickin' answer. And it's Ebony. These kids knew who Ebony was. Many of them were probably afraid of Ebony. She had run the locos. She was running the militia. They had respect and fear for her. So when she's standing up there vouching for the Mallrats, there's a reason why they would listen to her. These kids don't know who Amber is.
Right.
They have no history with her. They have no reason to respect anything she's saying. And I don't think what she's saying is enough to quell what you're telling me is a mob of children who have suffered at the hands of a psychotic cult leader who had no problem killing people willy-nilly for months. You're telling me that those few things she said was enough to calm them down and be like, all right, we'll come back for the trial. Are you serious? I don't buy it.
Yeah. No. It was far too easy. Far too easy.
Not too easy. I'd have a lot of questions if I was in that crowd, and I wouldn't leave until they were answered, okay? I wouldn't be like, well, that's enough for me. Never want to be here in the first place. So. Ay, ay, ay.
This is the writing we're going to get going forward.
They fast track so much through this just so they can get this conclusion, what they wanted, and just not enough thought was put into it.
And yeah, just finish that off, because obviously this tribe has just appeared out of nowhere. What do you make of the mosquitoes and their look?
Oh, I love them.
Yep.
No, I love them. Oh my god, sorry. I love the mosquitoes. I
liked seeing the creativity in their costumes, you know.
Yeah.
It's very fun. And it's
black and pink is nice together.
I love the strainers on their eyes. It's a fun costume. It's a fun look. It's distinct, you know, and it's a nice callback to earlier tribes where it also sends a message that this is a tribe that once again is run by, it's based on the personality of the person who formed it, which again is very reminiscent of earlier tribes where they followed their leader, and whatever their leader said, this looks cool, that's what everyone was stuck wearing. It's a little polished, but I think it works for the mosquitoes.
Yeah.
And I love Maz. She's got sass for days.
Yep.
And did you like the fact that it's another new all-female tribe?
I didn't mind. It's nice. Cool. Nice to have another one.
Yeah, it's nice to see.
Mm-hmm.
You stupid or something?
What do you mean?
I mean you're still here. Considering you sold out, I thought you would have been millions of miles away by now.
That's unfair. I helped you, Lex. I helped you all. Why are you doing this to me? Sure, I joined the Chosen, but that is no different from what Chloe or Patsy or Tysan did.
Leave Tysan out of this. How dare you liken yourself to her?
Couple of questions here. What did you make of May's treatment by the rest of the Mallrats? What did you make of Amber and Bray's reasonings about people who collaborated with Chosen and Lex taking matters into his own hands?
I know you're going to hate this, Maggie. I'm so sorry. I just want to say that in advance. I think May is being unfairly scapegoated because she's the easiest character to lash out at.
I agree.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, of all the people who joined the Chosen for various reasons, May joining because she didn't want to die is no less valid a reason for having joined up with these people. The only people who have a right to be mad at her about Dal are Lex, Ebony, Bray, and Amber, because their lives were directly
also
endangered that day.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Where does Tysan get off being rude to May?
I didn't get that yet.
Okay. Can I just say, the entire tribe was literally, their life was on the line because Tysan wanted to play Happy Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And she... I am... Oh my goodness, that's all,
The way the rest of the tribe is treating May, after all of this time has gone by, after several of them have joined the Chosen for various reasons.
Celine.
Okay, and yet all of a sudden, they forget everything May has been doing. And they had no problem hanging out with May when they were in the slave pit. May's down there in her freaking Chosen robes, and nobody's giving her any flack, you know? Alice and Ellie, they have no defense for May. She was spying for you guys, okay? She clearly has been working with the rebels all of this time, okay? She joined the Chosen because none of you were going to protect her, and then she was like, I don't like this. I don't
she
like
wasn't
this
a mall rat.
you know? And all of a sudden, the day after you win, it's totally okay to treat her like absolute garbage.
This is the woman who got Brady out, crying out loud.
She's just being unfairly scapegoated because there's nobody else that's safe enough to attack.
Right, because you can't go after Tyson.
I mean, that was my next question.
I would personally be more mad at Tyson if I was.
Yeah, that's what I am saying. Yeah. Like, she prolonged this and she prolonged this and she prolonged this. She watched him get to this point. She watched him get this, you know, this out of his mind. And did nothing and allowed them to do nothing. And it just blows my mind that she's just sitting there like, Tyson, no.
I'm just saying, it's like, I don't need to see somebody throwing their food at Tyson. I just would like to see a little sense of like, yeah, you were supposed to protect us. That's why you did the whole Supreme Mother thing, so you say. And then we nearly blew up. Look what you happened. Know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Something.
Seemed to do much to help us. And like, we can't attack Celine because she's as pathetic as any person could possibly be. Like, you can't kick a horse while it's down, you know, just let her. She's punishing herself. You can't bother her.
We can't blame KC.
Yeah, he saved our lives by pulling that whole Oracle shtick, so we can't say anything to him. And he's been just minding his business this whole time. Yeah. So, can't say anything to Trudy because we literally watched her be abused and we helped her get away, so she's out of the ring. May is really the only one that they're allowed. There's no one to protect her, no one has her back, so she is safe to again, she has to represent the collaborators that the kids would be angry at,
whereas Ellie was kissing one.
Exactly. So it just feels unfair that May is getting all of these daggers at her from everyone. I get Lex still being mad about that day, but he does seem hyper focused on May. Like, he just seems really
Lex is hyper focused on May, so he doesn't have to focus on being angry on his wife.
It's like you've been working with Ebony. She's done way worse things to you, Lex.
Way worse.
And she's like your freaking bestie, you know what I mean? Like,
partners in crime.
Would we even be in this mess if Ebony hadn't sold Trudy to the Guardian?
Thank you! Like, nobody remembers that!
Magic! It is friggin' magic!
But yeah, we're not holding a grudge against these people, but May, you're the frickin' worst. You're the worst. You did the worst. Nobody's ever been as awful or evil as you, even though Ebony tried to kill one of us.
Yeah, that's true.
We're cool with her.
You weren't one of us. We knew you were with the Chosen before you joined us. Come on. Because they knew May was with the Chosen for a while.
Yeah, she had tried it, yeah.
Before this invasion, she even said so, yeah.
No, that's what I said, she wasn't even actually a Mallrat. She owed them no loyalty.
Nope.
In a way, I kind of understand that Lex, if he could attack someone else, he would. Because he tried to have a go at Trudy, but immediately he was shut down. So he knows, I can't go after her. She's not a safe target to unleash my ire and my frustration. May is just a safe target to unleash that rage on. But I just didn't get everybody being so cold to her, like, especially Tyson. I was like, the whole great audacity of you be acting like
she's done something to you. Tyson.
And for a moment, I really did feel bad for May when she's trying to have a conversation with Tyson.
For a moment.
And
Wait.
No, I did.
Maggie, when she was crying, did you not feel anything?
Listen, that's what I'm saying. For a moment, I did.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about when she's sitting at the table and she's already been snubbed by the others at the table, which, again, don't know why. They don't even have any history with her. I don't know why they're snubbing her when they all seem to be getting along just fine, working together. And she sits next to Tyson and she's trying to have a conversation with her. And Tyson is just in her feelings, I guess. And she's just being so rude unnecessarily to May. And, you know, May is like, it was cool working together, you know, and like a team. And Tyson's like, a team. Like, she's being so snide. And May is just like, at least that's what I thought we were, you know. May actually was working with these people. She thought she was redeeming her choice, proving herself to them. And then this is how they're repaying her for risking herself. She was putting her life on the line.
That's why I feel bad for her. Yeah.
and this is the way they're treating her? I'm like, why? Tysan, why? What did Mei do to you? How did Mei's joining the Chosen do anything to you?
She just knows that Mei slept with Lex once. That's why she doesn't like her.
I get it in some ways, but it's like, if there should be anyone being this nasty to Mei, it should be Amber, because Mei got her best friend killed. And if Amber doesn't give a crap, none of you should, okay?
Amber. The only other person I would allow to be this mad at Mei would be Jack.
Would be Jack. But even then, I do feel bad for her, because you're right, she was thinking, she was on the up and up, and she was, you know, part of this group trying to do better, and to have all the people that she just thought she helped treat her so badly. And like Lex, I feel like you're right, she was an easy target, especially.
And of all the people who have messed up, who have, you know, screwed somebody over because they were being selfish, Mei has done the work to redeem herself, to make up for it. She put herself in danger in turn and worked her butt off to help the rebels. They wouldn't have been able to get half of what they did done if it wasn't for her spying for them. And you don't see a lot of characters who screw up and actually work to pay off that debt. So I just, for me, it doesn't sit well with me, her being punished this way. Even if, granted, the world isn't fair and that's realistic, it just bugs me, because I'm just like, yo, you know, like, what the frick, you guys? She really did pay off that debt. And again, all her debt was is she joined the Chosen, and yes, Dal got killed. That was stupid. She definitely had to pay for that, but I don't.
But she didn't have the intention to kill Dal, though.
I was like, is this supposed to be satisfying to watch? Because I didn't find it satisfying.
No. What I found really odd, though, is, I mean, Lex goes to KC. I totally get that. But Lex has never met Andy before this. Why is he instantly involving Andy in this? Why does he know the kid can be trusted or will be helpful? I mean, I'm surprised he even knows his name.
He probably talked to KC.
Well, I think if Andy wasn't in the room, he wouldn't be included. He's just happens to be there. He's messing around with KC. Lex needs an extra pair of hands. And it's just like, you win, whatever. The more the merrier.
I'm just surprised he actually remembers his name.
Laura Wilson sold that. I felt her pain when she was crying there after the event. And I felt so sorry for her.
Like, yeah. Molasses and fetters, you guys.
Literally no help, no comfort from any direction. No one was there. It's like, really felt it for her.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually do understand Amber and Bray's reasoning. We already knew that Bray wasn't holding a grudge against Mei. Every time Lex tried to bring it up, Bray would be, I don't even know why Lex thought going to Bray and Amber was going to do anything, but it made sense for Bray to be like, dude, we've talked about this. Mei has done her bit to, you know, win back our loyalty. You know, she's paid her dues. And I did have to say, even though I don't like the fact that basically nobody gets punished for the Chosen crap, there is one thing that Amber said that I did like. If we arrested every single person who was affected by the Chosen negatively, the cells would be full. That is true. Like, who, where does the line stop, Lex? You know, do we arrest every single person who joined the Chosen out of fear? Because half our tribe has to be in prison now, you know? So that's true. But at the same time, it feels like it's just the narrative not wanting to deal with the Chosen. That's why nobody gets punished. That's why there's no sort of conclusion to, like, we don't get any satisfaction for it. Because nobody gets put in trouble for what they did and being a part of this. And so that did feel a little bit like the narrative just being like, we don't want to deal with it. So
you just reminded me, they've not been able to deal with any ending of any tribe.
Nope.
It's literally Tribe Circus has done like away with it, because they came in and came out. That was it. But any other tribe has just not been able to end or conclude properly.
They just didn't want to. They didn't want to deal with it. They didn't want to deal with hunting down Chosen.
Too much work.
Yeah, it's too much work. So we're just going to let it all slide. Every single Chosen crime, we're going to let it slide. I do feel like you guys, I get it. Some people, you're going to let them go. But How about the Chosen who actually did commit the war crimes? How, you had the Praetorians here. Where are they? You just pushed them out of the building. Are you serious?
Can we not just see them punished at least? Like, something.
Something.
I mean, surely the people who tried to help burn Bray.
It's a little too black and white to be like, oh, it's down to one person. And everybody who collaborated with that one person, they were just negatively affected. So we can't touch them. Are you serious? I'm sure there's a line somewhere you could draw where someone needs to be punished for their crimes and where you can be like, okay, you know, they really aren't at fault for what they participated in or whatever. But they just didn't want to deal with it. They just wanted to sweep this Chosen thing under the rug.
They're like, oh, we messed up.
Oopsie.
Yeah, oopsie. This went on too long.
Yeah, just to wrap that up, do you think his reasons for doing this, like, ultimately, was it because he was trying to shift blame as far away from Tysanne as possible because he couldn't attack her himself, or because he was trying to get attention away from her from the rest of the tribe?
Ooh.
Oh. I honestly do think that Mei is a target for Lex because of Tysanne in many ways. Mm-hmm. You know, mainly because she reminded him constantly about what his wife was doing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
He was completely impotent. He couldn't do anything about that. He couldn't lash out at Tysanne about it. She just brought to mind things he didn't want to think about all the time. Of course, she only did it because he kept trying to start some with her, and she would throw his wife back in his face. So I do think some of it is his frustration at Tysanne's role in all this. I mean, he's clearly being a hypocrite. The narrative wants us to see that he's being a hypocrite. He loves Tysanne, so it's different. It's totally different. And it's like, yeah, is it though? But this is why I thought he was the only one. He was still mad about Dal. But now after watching this, I'm like, I'm sure in some ways he was mad about Dal, but I don't think he could be this mad about Dal that he wants Mei to pay for Dal. I really don't think Dal's the reason he wants revenge for Dal, you know?
He wants revenge for his boots.
I think if Mei had been more protected by somebody, Lex wouldn't have been able to do anything to her either, you know? But she's an unprotected person, and she's a safe person to go after, and he's not going to get a lot of flack for having done it.
Oh, you just reminded me. Why didn't... Pride. Pride, thank you. Pride really didn't come to her defense, did he?
He wasn't even around. We didn't see him.
He was there in the aftermath. But...
He was there in the aftermath, but he wasn't... Like, even in the beginning of the scene when we had Mei going from table to table in a cafe, Pride wasn't there.
Yeah, he wasn't there in the beginning, but he didn't really comfort her much in the aftermath or come to her. It just was a bit weird for me again.
If I recall, I don't think he finds out what happened to her in this episode. I do, if I'm remembering correctly, he finds out either in the next episode, and he does have a go at Lex over it, if I'm remembering correctly. But I don't believe he finds out how she's being treated in this episode. He's pretty clueless to what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I also think he's a little indifferent to some of the dynamics that are going on because he's not interested in any of this. And, I mean, we're going to get to the scene, I'm sure, in this discussion. But he seems a little like he's just working on his next move. So he's not really paying attention to how all of these guys are with each other. It's really their problem. He's not really invested in Mei either, as we'll obviously come to that discussion. And so I just don't think he's aware of exactly what's going on more than just petty squabbling.
Yeah, Bright's just working on, okay, this is done. Can we get back to the trees now?
Okay. This next segment, all right.
Here it comes!
I don't even know how to do this, all right.
You're to stand trial for your crimes.
He can hear you.
Does he understand what we're saying? Hey, Guardian, do you hear what we say?
Ebony now insists it's all an act, and I don't know where this has come from, but Amber is concerned that his behaviour is genuine and asks Tysanne for an assessment of his mental state in order to understand if he is actually fit to stand trial. Then we have Tysanne admitting that he is troubled but is also capable of fooling them, and so she offers to observe him in secret, knowing ironically that this is something that he would have done. Panel, I don't, obviously, we don't like where this story is going, but let's finally hash it out. Where the hell did this whole The Guardian is faking it come from? Why does suddenly Ebony know about it and Tysan knows about it? And the show is trying to show us that the Morats are suddenly aware that he's faking it when there's been no evidence of this at all. Just so that we can have this weird, stupid gotcha moment later on. Like, let's just hash out. Go for it.
For Ebony to say something like that, to me, it makes total sense. Because Ebony's probably going, okay, what would I do if I had been in his situation? I mean, she would probably have tried the insanity plea herself, had it been her.
Yeah, I agree. It makes sense that Ebony would...
in a
would
bubble,
not
yeah.
Be- Yeah, would not yeah. believe that this guy is just suddenly crazy. Mainly because she just wants her revenge on him. And I think that was an instinctual reaction. You know, she wants him punished. She wants him to go on trial. She wants to see him put to death. She wants, you know, the city to, she wants to see his downfall. You know, that's her idea of watching this guy suffer, I guess. Be easier if you just took him out yourself, Ebony, but whatever. She clearly wants that. So her knee-jerk reaction to hearing somebody even suggest that he might be crazy, which is a gateway to, I don't think we can punish him, blah, 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 because she knows Amber and Bray.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? She figured that out immediately, that that's where their minds would go. Knee-jerk reaction to go straight into denial. No, he's faking it. He's acting like there's something wrong because he doesn't want us to punish him. I don't think it's because she knows he's faking. But it is heavy-handed hinting at what the writers are planning on doing to us. But it does at least make sense for Ebony to spout that out, like, in a moment of, like, he's faking it. You're not buying this, are you? He's like a kid who got caught stealing and is trying to say, oh, no, the storekeep gave it to me. That, like, that's where she seems to be coming from. Tysan, on the other hand, it's not what she's saying that I find weird. The fact that he's deceitful. She knows he's capable of deceit. Yeah, she learned that watching him, talking to him. He is a deceitful person. She knows he's also a hypocrite. She knows he lies to himself and to other people. And she knows that he likes to secretly observe people. But it's the way she's saying it. It's the words they gave her that make it very heavy-handed, that they're hinting at what they plan on doing in the narrative. And so it feels unnatural the way she's saying what she's saying. Does that make any sense?
It does.
Yeah, it does. I'm just...
We don't want it to make sense, but it does.
No, it's just, I don't know if it is her words or the way it's presented. It's just, it comes off really weird.
But it's also because they're trying to speed run getting us to the decision of not doing anything about this guy. And so their conversations also feel unnatural, how they're going to come to their conclusion.
Yeah.
So it's just, I mean, it's, I listen to this conversation and I'm like, the writers already know he's not crazy and they're hinting at it, but it's so heavy handed the way it's being done. And I don't know. Considering this conversation, their conclusion makes less... The conclusion they come to makes less sense. Strange dialogue. I don't really care for this conversation at all. It seems strange that Tysan would say he's capable of fooling us when she's so easily fooled by him. So how would she know? How would she know? You know, if you're aware that someone is capable of fooling people, wouldn't that make you more
skeptical
of this person? Thank you.
You would think. No, I think Tysan's too blinded by her own need to be right.
Yes, I agree. 100%.
Her own ego is getting in. And that's the whole thing. It boils down to us getting to where we are with him because her ego got in.
No, that's the problem with writing, because we just had the last episode, her going, he's got a great soul hidden in there. We have to get it, like, protect him and get it out. And now she's saying, oh, no, he's still capable of feeling us. And it's like... Make a decision, right?
I know.
What does she actually feel about it? I don't understand.
She doesn't want to be wrong.
Which one is it, though?
Ego. It's got, you know, either way, her bases are covered. I mean, she's not going to be wrong. I just think it's crazy that she told them this, and they I don't know. And it was still left to chance. Spoilers. I'm just going to stop.
It's not a good conversation. It's not good dialogue. But if I just take pieces of it, I think Ebony assuming the guy's lying makes sense.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's pretty, I guess that's the only thing that makes sense.
The only thing. Oh, God. Well, how else are they going to justify keeping this man alive, right? And then how are they going to justify what happens later on? Like, they knew, absolutely knew what they were going to do. So they're like, okay, how do we keep him alive?
The three people who weren't in the mall are making this decision, though. Like, Ebony, Bray, and Amber weren't even in the mall. So why are they even asking about the Guardian's state of mind or how he's being? They should be asking the rest of the tribe.
I don't even think Tysanne should be trusted
with
the state of mind.
No, she was way too close to the situation.
And she's too emotionally involved. Nope. And
that's it.
She clearly wasn't able to get through to him no matter what she says, because he was going to blow you up, Tysanne.
Bro.
Should be asking the other Morats.
Yeah, you made no progress.
Is she the one that's too like, unfit to stand trial? Like, is it Tysanne that's delusional, too?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole thing. Who's really brainwashed here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hate it.
Yep, that's where we're at.
And I hate where it's going.
I don't want to.
Thanks, I hit.
So wait, now's the time where we're going to start watching the episodes being reversed, right, backwards, so we can...
This is usually in my rewatch where I just go back to season one.
I'm telling you.
Like, I can't do this anymore. I'm done.
You're done.
I'm not, just let's just skip. Let's just go.
Let's just skip. What is this? The second half of season what? It doesn't, it's fine.
Let's just go to season four.
At this rate, episode one of season four is going to get so much praise.
Oh my grace.
It's amazing. It's so great.
It's so good.
Oh wow, that airplane. Oh my gosh.
Fresh blood. Oh my god.
Superman.
You guys, the direction, the cinematography.
I can't believe it. Look at how the technology has developed. Wow.
Maybe Tamsin's prophecy will come true.
For at least a couple of episodes.
And then, you know, it's going to wear off. And we're gonna be like, pew, pew.
Pew, pew.
And then we're getting to season five. And
oh, man. Do you hear this? They've broken us. They have broken us.
They have officially, yes. I have literally only seen season four and season five once in the entirety of the time the show has been out. So
I've only seen it twice, and that was one rewatch because of the productions we were doing back in the day. But yeah, this is going to be new for me.
Oh, man. It's going to be great. No, wait, I didn't say that.
I think I've made it through the entirety of season four in one go once.
I've seen it too often.
Every other time I've tried to give it a shot, I usually quit before I hit the halfway mark. And then after that, I started I'd get to the halfway mark, be like, I can't do this anymore. And I would skip right to season five, because at least I have fun with season five. It's insane. It's insane, but I love it. It's bonkers. It's nobody cares. We don't care anymore. We're just here to have a party. So
that's exactly it. A little bit of this, a little bit of this. Let's sprinkle some of that in there.
Last hurrah at summer camp. Yeah. But yeah, I'm at the point where I'm just like, let's not do the rest of season three. Let's just start season one, four. I'm done.
Right now, the only person she knows she can completely trust is...
Brady.
Yeah. And she's going to have to learn all over again how to trust others.
So a simple question here. Do you agree with Trudy's assessment of this?
No.
Thank you.
No.
Absolutely not the case.
I was waiting. I was like, all right, let's see where we're going to go with this before I, you know. She has nobody left to take care of her. She feels lost. She's like, who's going to take care of me now?
I think the main part of that assessment Trudy makes...
Yeah, because Brady can't hurt her.
The part that is correct is that she only trusts Brady right now.
Yeah, she can't leave her on her own.
Brady can't leave her.
Like, she can't walk away.
Brady can't leave her.
Brady can't make the executive decision to exit Celine's life. If Brady is absent from Celine's life, it is not... It wasn't Brady's decision. So, yeah... I feel like Celine is reacting the way most narcissists do when they are out of fuel. But Trudy saying it is very kind of Trudy. And I think Trudy believes it You know what I mean? Because she tends to give. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's only ever really had positive feelings about Celine since the first, you know, combative beginning. Since then, it's been positive, positive, positive across the board. So she has no reason to think ill of Celine. So her saying it makes sense.
Yeah. Plus, you know, Trudy probably knows her own guilt in messing with Celine's sanity.
Yeah, but I don't agree with her assessment.
This is definitely Celine's like, oh my god, what now?
In fact, I was like, I think Celine's completely broken, but yeah, it's more just, if I was going to assess Celine, I'd just be like, it's what you said, Sabine. She has no one left to take care of her. No one else to basically suck the lifeblood out of. No one's stepping up to the plate to do that or be her fuel. And so yeah, she's absolutely lost and broken because of that. Yeah, but it makes sense that the way Trudy's looking at her friend, who she's always thought of as a friend and a good person, she's thinking she's just so broken by losing everything and not having anyone, and she needs to learn how to trust again. And I'm like, Celine has never been trustworthy in the first place. That's rich.
She left you to die. She tried to steal your baby.
She left Trudy to die.
As such a very generous Trudy. It's very sweet of you. Very kind. Due to your own experience. So I won't give you any flack for thinking that.
I appreciate her trying to give her grace. But,
oh, sweetheart. How naive you are.
She's probably projecting a bit as well.
That's possible too.
Because I'm pretty sure when she was away from the Chosen and went with Amber, she had to learn to trust again too, and she wasn't in a much better state than Celine is in right now. It's just due to different reasons.
Yeah, she knows exactly what she's going through too, you know, in a sense. So it makes sense that it's Trudy that is able to try to see the better in her, even if it's not there.
So, it makes sense for Trudy to see it this way, mainly because, again, she's never looked at Celine and seen her the way we have, okay? And just a more adult eye and from the outside, you know. But it also makes sense that because of what happened with The Chosen, it was an incredibly humbling experience for Trudy. Her childhood was completely, whatever was left of being a child, being a kid, any selfishness she might have still been clinging to that we all have as teenagers, it was ripped away from her in the harshest way possible. And she comes out of it a person who is far more willing to give everybody grace, because she sees it as everybody messes up for various reasons. You never know what someone else is going through. You don't know what their journey is. And so she's just kinder to people in general and much more generous in her opinion of people after the Chosen debacle, because she sees it as I screwed up too. I betrayed everybody I know. And even though I had good reason for it, I did. And I can never make up for it except to be a better person who gives people the consideration that I would like to receive for my own mistakes. And so Trudy just really doesn't look at people with a cynical eye from this moment on. She's very quick to forgive, and all you have to do is show her your softer side, and Trudy's just like, wow, you're really a decent person under this, you know. And I think her journey with the Chosen in a way almost makes her more naive, because she really wants to believe that everybody can be redeemed, everybody can make up for the bad things they've done. She doesn't want to be judged, so she tries not to judge others.
She has to believe that.
But no, I don't agree with her. It's a nice moment with Trudy and Tally.
Yeah.
Because I love how Tally's little button on it, like, oh, so she's like me. And it's just, my heart breaks for this little girl. Like, we keep getting these hints of how rough Tally's life has been with Ned and Andy. And I don't feel like people are probing enough or giving this kid enough attention. You know, she is screaming out to somebody, please see me. Please rescue me from my life.
And here's Trudy, who's had Patsy under her wing before.
that's a sweet moment with them. And I do love the acting in this scene, especially the moment when Celine's with Brady playing on the floor with her, and Trudy's hesitant to interrupt them, but she's got to take care of her child. But it just the way Trudy's acting and the way she approaches, you get the sense that she's been afraid to take Brady away from Celine this whole time. She doesn't want to set Celine off because Brady's literally the only thing keeping Celine in a calm state of mind.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Like, Celine's on suicide watch right now. And you can see that Trudy's afraid to trigger her. And she's so careful. And she's like, you know, I clearly have to take the baby. It's time to get dressed now. But she's so cautious as she's doing it. And of course, after, and look at Celine's face as Brady's taken from her. You know, like, the struggle to let her go. She's not mine. It's not my child. I lost my child. It all comes crashing down on her in that moment. Like, Victoria's acting is stellar right there. And even the way, like, she, you can, there's so many emotions flying through Celine's face. There's despair. There's remembrance. And then you see her trying to perk herself up again. Like, well, Brady's still here. You know, I can still appreciate Brady. And you know what I mean? Like, wow, like, Victoria, well done. Great little moment from her.
Does anyone want to talk about Alice and Ned? Mm. Not you, Sophie.
Not sure.
I don't get it. I still don't get it. It's.
I was just going to comment about the amount of alcohol she must have consumed. I'm sticking by my comment in last episode. This is a commercial to show you what alcohol does to people. Alcohol makes you stupid, so don't drink.
The thing realistic about it is, you know, Alice sobering up and remembering, oh my gosh, this guy disgusts me. Like, that's the most realistic part of it, is her, like, the high is over, the adrenaline is gone, the alcohol is washed out of her body, and she's looking at him and remembering, ew. And I just don't understand the point of giving us a little bit of a deeper Ned. Like, again, he was a completely different person down there digging.
Yes, when it was just them.
And all of a sudden, the next morning, he's back to being, ugh, repulsive. Every word that came out of his mouth was so cringy. I was like, run, run, Alice.
And you would think maybe he just doesn't know any better. Like, you would think that the type of person that he is, we know what type of person he is. We learn that more so in the future. You know what I mean? And you can't even say he just doesn't know better. He is just a despicable person. He's gross. He's gross. And poor Alice. Poor Alice, she has to.
I didn't feel bad for her, though. I was just like, oh.
No, that's not what I feel bad for. That's not what I feel bad for. I feel bad for the future.
I just looked at, I was like, oh, so the high wore off, huh? He remembered who this guy was?
You remember he, I don't feel bad for her in this moment. Like, this is what happens. You get too excited and you make bad decisions and here we are.
Yeah, but it's nice to have them show us, you know, her response to her making a bad decision like that for now. It's
I did like their acting. Again, these two are fabulous together. And I love, like, her awkwardness, just trying to, I mean, plenty of us know that feeling. Any of us know that feeling. Oh my gosh. Or you'd rather chew off your arm than wake up the person who happens to be sleeping on it.
Yeah, what's that like, Liz?
Oh my god!
Please, describe it.
No, we don't all know that feeling, Liz.
I feel like I'm missing out.
So, Alice, she's doing a great job embodying that. You're just trying to cover yourself up. All the body parts that you were flinging about willy-nilly the night before.
She was a different person.
Now you've gone... You go completely monkish, right? And I even really loved the moment with Ned where he realizes, like, she's left, you know, and there's that tiny, just look at this guy's expression. It's very small, but it's a really good acting moment. Okay, he's been acting like a fool from the moment he woke up, and he's clearly jovial at the idea, I got this girl. Of course, I don't know how to act around a woman. I don't know how to behave around people in general. So he's doing his best, and it's awful. And then he turns around and realizes she's left. For a microsecond, you can see the look on his face before he cheers himself up, like, oh, okay, cheeky, hard to get, you know. It's just these tiny moments that show that there's something there, and the actor really is tapping into it, and it just made me wish, like, again, it just, like, there's so much potential for Ned, and you guys didn't use it, and it would be so great if Ned really was just this guy who,
yeah,
I don't know how to be, I don't know how to people, you know, I didn't have good role models. I've had to raise myself, and then I had to raise my siblings, and I fake it till I make it. That's what I do everywhere I go. And vulnerability terrifies me, and I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm always pretending I know what I'm doing. Just that one little micro expression that I loved.
Yeah, makes you wonder if there's more to Ned than we actually get to see for a split second.
That expression's, yeah, for a split second, it's the look of a person who's like, I've never had a girl like me before. I've never had a girl respond positively to me before. And I actually got one, and I like her. She's awesome. She's beautiful. And she just snuck out. What did I say wrong? It could have been everything. I don't know. I don't.
Yeah.
Crap. You know, I did it again. No, no, no. I got to tell myself. It's cool. It's cool. You know what I mean?
He is not self-aware.
Yeah. No, she spent the night with me. She must like me.
But again, all of that credit goes to the actor, because it's not in the writing. It's all, I don't know what the actor's name is, but it's all him.
Devin, yeah.
Devin, is that his?
Devin Lincoln.
Yeah. It's all him. It's all him bringing anything extra to Ned, because the writing didn't.
That brings us to our final thoughts of the episode. So in secret, Tysan observes the Guardian's behavior and reports back to Amber and Bray that he is unable to stand trial.
If you're looking for someone to blame, there's no need to look any further than me.
So yeah, what do you make of the decision on the Guardian? The argument that happens, and then Luke offering up himself.
That about sums it up.
Oh my gosh. I hate that they fast track making the decision. I can handle them coming to a collective decision not to try the Guardian, okay? But it's going to take more than 10 seconds at the table. It's going to take more than Tysan watching this guy in secret for less than 20 minutes. And being emotionally compromised.
He is a healer.
It's going to take more than Brain Amber being... shut up. Brain Amber, the way they have the audacity to stand up and tell these people this is what we're doing. Even again, after acknowledging everybody has been affected by this guy. I cannot believe that even Amber doesn't believe that this should be go to a vote, that city leaders should be involved. Miss Democracy over here is completely comfortable just saying we're making a blanket decision because the three of us decided. I cannot believe that Tysan was able to convince these people with that little speech she gave. I wanted to
May I just say, I got kind of upset about the fact that Tysan says these things and Trudy takes their side. I mean, if anyone in that whole building should know how much stuff the Guardians put her through and what he's capable of, you know, and how quickly he can change how he acts around someone.
I can kind of buy Trudy because, again, we're dealing with someone who is traumatized by what she did and doesn't want the world to judge her. So, again, as I said, she's giving everybody grace and wants to play nice.
Even him.
I know. But I get Trudy, even though it wouldn't be me. But I've told you, Trudy's a better person than me. I don't understand Alice or Ellie.
I understand Ellie. The only reason I understand Ellie is because if the Guardian gets off, Luke might get off. You know,
Yeah, it's true. Definitely personal vested interest. Yeah, but I just think they needed to do a better job signing up who would agree with this and who wouldn't. But instead, it looks like, look at the crowd. Look at who agrees that the Guardian should be spared, not be put on trial, and everyone who doesn't. If you haven't noticed, it's all the virtuous characters who decide, okay, we won't try this guy. like, it's so heavy-handed. There's no nuance in this conversation. Mm-hmm. This is a serious conversation to be having. And even though I don't recall it being able to have this serious of a conversation when I was 17, I do think it does speak to the arrogance of youth. You know just enough to be the worst dumbass on the planet. So they are arrogant enough to think that they understand the subject enough to make this decision. But I just, like, they are speed running this. And the fact that Luke comes in, even though it's kind of a cool moment for Luke, it all comes down to them not wanting there to be ramifications for the Chosen, for anyone who's involved in the Chosen. Because the minute you put Luke on trial, we already know nothing is going to happen to Luke, because he spent the entire season proving what a good guy he was. He has a defense. He has a really good defense. Nothing is going to happen to him. So we can put him safely on trial and also let him off the hook. They could never do that with Jaffa. There's no defense for what Jaffa has done. No. So we have to get him out and put someone safe in. And then, boom, once it's done with Luke, we never have to deal with the Chosen again. And this should have taken a couple of episodes. There should have been more people involved. You still could have come to this conclusion, and I would have accepted it. But you cannot crank this out the way they did so fast with so little real discussion.
Amber participated in a vote to kick out a pregnant teenager. Okay? Like, I can't believe that. It's...
Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
I'm just still annoyed that they let Thaisen be the judge of his state of mind. They should have gone with someone more neutral, someone like, well, Pride, for instance.
On one hand, I actually understand Brain Amber asking Thaisen to do it. They clearly they see her as the authority on the Guardian because she was the closest to him. So I at least get that. And I even get that these guys are so young and dumb that they would bring up the subject of, we can't try someone who's crazy, but also not realize that is a far more complicated issue than just saying someone's crazy and they like don't know the difference between right and wrong. You can be crazy and know the difference between right and wrong. Like, it just is such a dumb teenager decision that I can accept if we got here, because dumb teenagers would make this decision. like they love to think, we all like to think we're smarter than we are when we're young. And so I buy them coming to this conclusion, but not this fast and not with so little real discussion. It's too black and white. It's too simplified. And it annoys the crap out of me. Like, you can see that Thaisen is emotionally compromised the minute she's looking at him in that cage. Not to mention, you gave away your presence, Thaisen. He already knows someone's watching.
She's married. The conflict of interest.
She left that little tidbit out. Yes. Nobody knows about that secret ceremony.
That's her, one of her husbands.
I hate the way they went about this. I hate the execution of all of this, you know? Spying on the Guardian, watching him in secret, that's a good idea. Let's send a person who's going to give away their presence within 10 seconds.
I love that.
Oh, hi.
That was so stupid.
I was hoping you'd notice.
You guys still have cameras. You still have, like, the Chosen, you have access to all the Chosen stuff. Move the Guardian, put a camera in that room, then return him back to the cage. You know, you don't want him to see that you put a camera up, you know, whatever. Or move him someplace where there already is a camera and watch him in secret when he's not aware he's being watched. And you got to do it for more than 20 minutes. Do you know how long it takes to deem somebody incompetent of standing trial? These guys, they just don't want to deal with this. And they're looking for any excuse not to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
Ray and Amber aren't even that upset about the fact that this guy's not going to be tried. You can't. Come on. They should be very upset that like, this should be a struggle.
Yeah, which is insane.
But immediately, they've already decided we can't put him on trial. And why is Amber making this decision?
Who is she?
Oh my gosh, why is it her?
She's not Danny.
Any real say in this. Like, I just, wow.
She just got back. She doesn't even go here.
Oh, I hate the way this is done. I hate it. It's like, if you're not going to take the time to tackle such a serious subject, and to think you did it better in season one when these kids had to decide what they're going to do about Ebony, and you can't top that now, like, Give it up. Go home.
Yeah.
Go home, Roger.
So sad because Damon, or the actor who plays Jop, is that Damon?
Mm-hmm.
He does so well. Like, you genuinely believe that the character is off his nutter. You know what I mean? Like, he's lost his mind.
Mm-hmm.
And for the writing to be so bad.
Yeah, I hate this so much. Ugh. And again, there's potential in all of these ideas. I'm not mad at the ideas. It's what they did with the ideas.
Mm-hmm.
They just didn't take enough time to deal with this. Had this been spread out over several episodes, come to this conclusion, I might have had less issues with accepting it.
I don't know what the rush is. That's what I don't understand. What is the rush?
Yeah.
You didn't have any problem wasting all that time when the Chosen were in charge, and you just wasted
so much time.
Mm-hmm.
It's a rush. What are we rushing towards? Why couldn't this take more time? I don't understand. It's not like you have a game plan for this season, so why are we rushing through such an important decision?
They're afraid.
You know what? They're rushing toward the kidnapping. That's what it is.
That's exactly it. Exactly it.
They're rushing toward the next plot point that they find interesting.
Mm-hmm. We can't spend too much time on it. Then Emma wouldn't be fully pregnant at the end of the season.
Started.
Just thinking about that.
Honestly, Luke offering himself up, I'm like, fine. Whatever will put you out of your misery. Because I'm already tired. I'm already kind of tired of the... Like, don't get me wrong. I appreciate that Luke feels guilty, and I believe he feels guilty wholeheartedly.
He's just trying to ease.
But I almost feel like, dude, I think you're enjoying wallowing a lot more than you probably ought to.
Yes.
And again, he's still being a little manipulative with it because he keeps telling Ellie, "I'm not going to leave. I'm not going to run away. I'm not going to save my life." But then he'll be like, "I mean, if you ran away with me, I would totally forget all this guilt and spend the rest of my life in hiding. As long as you come with me. But if you aren't going to run away with me, I am going to throw my life."
Well, then I'm going to turn myself in.
I know, like,
I'm going to sacrifice myself.
I'm fine. You know what? Maybe you need to, Luke, because...
Go ahead, bud. Whatever makes you feel better.
You clearly need this.
You need this. This one's for you, bud.
He needs to be flogged. He won't be happy until he has been, so... Everybody line up for his spanking. He needs this. So give it to him. So I didn't feel like, oh my gosh, Luke. I was just like, you know what?
No, I mean,
this needs to happen.
This makes sense, yeah.
Sure.
Okay, why not?
I mean, I do like Luke as a character, but, you know, it's, I don't hate the fact that he does this. It feels fitting for him.
Theater kid to his core. Even the way he presents himself. So dramatic. Like, you know he was waiting, listening to this conversation.
Till his moment. Now is my time.
This is the same when he jumped on the fountain. Mm-hmm. He loves a bit of drama as well.
He does!
Or when he climbed out from behind the candles.
He swooped in and saved Ryan. He loves a good entrance. He lives for them. But then again, you know, he was like the Guardian's protege, so...
Makes sense.
I love the idea that while they're all arguing at the table, there was Luke just slowly creeping up the stairs listening to the conversation.
Yep.
And nobody noticing him, and just waiting for his moment. And he's like, yes, it has come. I get to finally martyr myself.
Action. End scene.
I volunteer as tribute.
Oh, man. But yeah. Okay. I feel a little bad for Ellie, but trust me, Ellie, you'll be better off. You really will be, baby girl.
Trust us. We know things you don't.
This attachment is not healthy.
Don't make decisions you will regret in the future.
This is why Luke is the better man than Jay.
Oh, we all know that. We've all know that Luke is so much better than Jay. drama and all. Superior. The janitor is superior to Jay.
Superior.
All but Ned.
No, you know what? I would still put Ned above Jay.
Wait, is everyone superior to Jay?
You're going to give it to Ned, too?
Yeah.
Ooh.
I will take Ned over Jay.
Oh.
Yes, sorry, Jay fans.
All right. Because maybe possibly if Ned If Ned didn't do what he's going to do, he could have been moldable. Could have, you know, been taught. Like, Jay is.
You want to know why I put Ned over Jay?
Because he's not a Ken doll?
Because the narrative... No. Jay is beautiful. There's nothing wrong with the fact that that boy has got a face carved by angels. No crime. Wear it proudly, boy. No. For me, Ned is better than Jay because the narrative doesn't try to gaslight me into thinking that every despicable thing that Ned does... he's still a great guy, okay?
He pees gold, guys.
All right, like... The narrative is like, nah, Ned is clearly a problem child. He has issues. He has potential. Maybe he could fix himself up someday. But they're not pretending that he isn't pretty much a garbage human being who's just trying to figure things out.
Yeah, no, he is the problem.
He's the problem. Jay, are you kidding me? The narrative treats him like spun silk comes out of his butt. Are you kidding me?
I can hear the music.
And on that note, that brings... Series 3, episode 34, to a close. Thank you very much to our panel. And if you'd like to take part in the future episode of the podcast, please just send us a message on our Facebook page on our website, tribe.co.uk. So we'll see you next time for episode 35. Until then, bye.
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 Bye.